Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Welcome in. Another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk. With me, as usual, to my right, Heath Elsonson. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. Here. I'm Dave Romero. I'm your host. So from Ruston to Monroe, Farmersville to Jonesboro, sit back, relax, because for the next hour, we're going to be doing 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. Gentlemen, the
Saints. Is
that Saints.
The new cities that you put on there?
No.
Oh, you know, I was wondering.
Man, I haven't updated.
Oh, yeah. I just updated my app, so I wanted to make sure you updated your
And people in Farmerville are going to get you for putting an S in there. What? You keep saying Farmersville. It's Farmerville.
Man, do you guys have...
I want to let you know before somebody, if you ever up in that part of the country, somebody jumps you, it's because they don't like you putting.
Well, I appreciate you
it.
Looking out for me like
yeah,
that.
Well.
You know what? Maybe it's just I have a lift that I have, and I didn't actually. I'm not saying Farmersville. It's just no.
I think it's a good chance nobody in Farmerville's ever heard this show, so it may not matter.
Wait, I think we have wall to wall coverage.
Wall to wall coverage.
We're on the blowtorch.
That's right.
We got to be heard. We're on a blowtorch.
I'm telling you, there are people well beyond that in the country over there gathering around there.
In the holler.
Maybe. I don't know.
You familiar with the holler?
Yeah, ain't no hollers in Louisiana.
No hollers.
It'd be filled with water.
But northern
called
Louisiana,
the
isn't that where the mountains start?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No? Okay. Yeah. Y'all going to let me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do
what you
right.
do.
All right. Jesus Christ. All right. So the Saints get back on track with a big win. 34-17 against the Buccaneers. You know, listen, after the way they played against Atlanta,
yeah,
I was nervous going into this game. And I don't know if it didn't do a little bit for, you know, the excitement level, because I had gotten to the point where it's just, can we get to the playoffs already?
Yeah.
It just gotten too easy. It was just a matter of how we were going to win. I mean, it's amazing how one game can shake your confidence. It felt like, how are we going to ever win another game based on what we saw against Atlanta?
Yeah.
But the Saints came out, and I would say even without Lattimore, one of our top three or four key players on the team,
yep,
we shut down Tampa Bay, which if you're going to give them something, it's that they can throw the ball around the yard. They have talented receivers. Winston, a talented passer when he's not throwing it to the other team.
Well, no, that's a good thing. That's the advantage to being the opposing team, is that he's literally going to throw it all around the yard, including right. you.
Give you some opportunities.
Yeah,
the thing is, are you going to catch him?
Well, in this week, the Saints certainly caught him.
Caught a
they
few
took
of them.
Advantage of every opportunity.
Matter of fact, one of your favorite guys.
My favorite guy, my boy. I've been telling y'all, if you give this guy a chance, he's going to be great.
That's how I recall it, too.
I mean, he can catch a ball thrown right to him better than anybody I've ever seen.
Well, okay. Now he's tied the same number he had as his rookie season.
Nah, I'm giving him shit.
Through.
The guy's good.
No,
okay?
But
the guy's good.
Okay, we talk about this, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is hard.
I watch the games every week, again, and I try to do – it's hard.
I guess
to really
you get spoiled watching the Rod Woodsons and the Earl Thomases.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, you see
yeah.
those guys – and they're all
Kenny
over
Vaccaro's.
The field. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
You had to ruin it. But they're all over the place. They're
Browner.
In the, you know, every time somebody throws a ball deep down the field, there's two defensive backs because the safety gets over there and he's in the picture when. And you don't see that with the Saints, but what I'm starting to gather more and more, and I've always said I don't know how to evaluate the safety position really, okay? I don't claim to be a football X's and O's expert. But it's obviously the way the Saints' alignment and the way they play
yes.
is just not the same coverage that those guys were playing right. in. Or it's just the fact that Earl Thomas and guys like that were really special players. I mean,
right. and,
not every
and,
safety in the NFL is Earl
both.
Thomas.
I right. think they were special players, and I think the way that Dennis Allen has schemed out our defense
right.
is for the way that Marcus Williams is playing. because I hear all these people who are evaluators, and they're all saying, man, he's having the best year he's ever had
right.
playing safety.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
now, here's the thing. Those guys that you mentioned before, the Earl Thomases, the great safeties, because they were great instinctive players, they were allowed to play more freely. Like, in other words, I've heard lots of, and you watch those shows that come on and they talk about the players and that the coaches allow them just to freelance. Right. You know, so yeah. because they have such great instincts, all of a sudden they're flying up the field, intercepting the ball to the tight end that they're like,
well,
where did it come from?
Right, and the word on William Williams coming out of college was that he was that kind of a guy. He was a ball hawk. He was all over the place. That guy got a nose for the football. So I guess that's kind of what I expected. And then when he comes in and, you know, he's playing obviously a little bit more rigid in where he's.
Yes.
Right. And he plays that deep single high safety. Reason because he has the range to play single deep high safety.
Right.
But having said that, to play that single deep high, and again, I know there's some guys who might be on a different level who can do it. But he's playing 15 yards off the ball, 20 yards off the balls, and you don't see him in the TV screen sometimes. And it's like, so you don't see him. But what you don't see also often is the deep ball given up or the things like that. So while he doesn't show up in some areas, it's schematics.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think he's not a great tackler or a big hitter, but he's a rangy guy.
Yeah.
So they found what he does best.
Yeah.
So the thing is, he's not, in my opinion, he's not an Earl Thomas type. But in our scheme, it seems like, I mean, we don't give up the deep ball a whole bunch.
No.
Yeah.
So I think he does his job. Having said that, you made a comment and we got into all this serious talk. Could any one of us not have caught that ball? He was just standing there and just threw it right to him.
Yeah.
And, like, every once in a while I see other teams, I feel like, and maybe it's because of my bias, that the Saints don't get those ones where the quarterback drops back and lifts the ball to throw it and it goes flying out his hands and rolling down the field and right into your hands.
Yeah.
It's like I feel like the Saints have to earn their stuff. Yeah. And that one definitely didn't earn that one. He just kind of stood there. And I'm just
You know what? In the past, the Saints have dropped a lot of those.
No, true.
They've had a lot of them in them right in their hands. They've had opportunities and they've dropped them and all. Yeah. So let's give him, give him the credit.
You still got to catch it, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give him this, dude. This is, if I don't, every single time he does something, Craig hits me up on Twitter about, and he's got the I love, we love you, Marcus hashtag on Twitter and everything. So, Craig, I'm giving him his due. Guy's playing good ball.
Right. Speaking of that, then I might as well take some, because I'd like to believe that I'm fair. And there's a guy that I defended, and now I'm like looking at it the other way. Davenport has, to me, almost disappeared.
Okay, so did you see what Sean Payton said about that?
No.
He was asked about it because Hendrickson played 30-some-odd snaps.
And he played really well.
Davenport only played like 23.
Right. I noticed he wasn't on the field as much.
And if you read between the lines of what Payton said, when they play in six defensive backs and all, they're going basically with a three-man alignment up front. And in that situation, if you read between, basically what he said is Hendrickson is a better pass rusher in that situation.
Huh.
He's got more moves.
Okay.
He's got more hand moves and all to get off the block. Davenport's better against the run.
Yeah.
But right now, at this point in his career, kind of similar to Cam Jordan. And he's ahead of Cam Jordan in the first so many games of their career.
Sure.
As far as sacks and quarterback hits and all. Mm-hmm. He's actually quite a bit ahead of him. But at this point, it looks like Hendrickson's better at this time at that particular role.
So here's – but let's – and it seems as though the Saints going into the season kind of said, hey, this is what we think we can do to make Davenport effective. Do you remember the first several games where we were lining him up at middle linebacker? He's rushing the passers, like basically turned him into like a bowling ball. Just line up somewhere over here and just go and wreak havoc.
Yeah.
And they've gotten away from that. Now, maybe they like, hey, we'll save that up for something else or for a different team.
And I just watched the game again today. And so, but he was disruptive again in that game. Like, he didn't play as many snaps, but there were several times where he was, you can't see me on the air, but he was close. He really was, or he's the one that flushed Winston out of the pocket or where, so he did have his moments.
Yeah.
But I saw that he was being effective.
On one play, T-Hex was triple teamed.
If you can draw that triple team. Hey, listen, we're just getting started. Don't go anywhere. Wall-to-wall Saints talk. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. The BS and Beer podcast crew will be right back.
I'll never be your face.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew, talking wall-to-wall Saints, New Orleans, 34-17 over the, hated? Do we hate them?
No, division rival.
They're like your little brothers. You like to beat them up.
I'm hoping they win this week. Not a problem.
Matter of fact, they playing what, Atlanta?
Atlanta?
I don't know. Atlanta.
Actually, I'm thinking I want Atlanta to win every game until we play them again.
Right.
And then I want to just, you know what I'm saying?
So
I want Petty Payton to come out for that game.
One of the things I was reading the comments on the internet, and it was the Carolina team talking, and it was some of the things that they say. I should have kept them all, but the one that struck me the most was like, you know, New Orleans is going to let us win that last game of the season, knock us down five or six spots in the draft, yeah. Or that meaningless game at the end of the season. Yeah. And it's kind of true. Every year we play them at the end of the year, and you, in the last several years, we've had everything locked up. They end up winning the game, and you go from being – and that's the same argument we had when the Saints went through that little dry spell.
The 7-9 like, years.
Why do we win the game? Well, you want to win every game. Man, nobody right now, does it matter? It wouldn't matter. You know, you want that better pick. But then you get into the whole other thing.
We would have been 6-10. You'd have picked five spots higher.
Right.
You know what I mean? That guy turned out to be somebody who's great now.
But at the end of the day, the Saints now draft Alvin Kamara in the third round. So, who cares?
Yeah.
You can get your player anyway.
We've come a long way.
So, we have come a long way. And I tell you, a lot of good stuff in that Saints game. Not like last week.
No.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
Well, we've gotten back on track, and what I love about it is that we're going to have a lot more time for good than we have for bad ugly. So, Heath, I'm going to start off. Tell me what you thought your good player-wise in the Saints game.
Single player?
Start off with the single player. We got a lot of time.
Okay.
Talk about some good stuff. Last week we spent way too much time, but that's all we had to talk about.
Yeah. All right. So, wow, there's a bunch of ways we could go here because a bunch of people had really outstanding games individually.
Over the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Easton.
Oh, man.
That take your guy?
You're killing me. All right, go ahead.
We should talk about this stuff before we actually record.
Yeah, I know, right? No, man, we winging it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so obviously after what we had, I mean, and really this goes for the entire offensive line. You know, Armstead had a much better game. McCoy had a little rough last week. Kind of from center left last week had some
tough times.
And but Easton came in and look, I mean, he didn't even talk about him during the game because there was nothing to say. He did his job.
Pro Football Focus, you know how we firmly believe in everything they say.
Oh, absolutely.
Had him ranked as the Saints' best offensive player in the game.
Yeah.
And he was the third overall guard in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
So, which brings up the question, all you got to do is roll the tape from the last show that we did where we're like, Is Clapp better than Easton? We paid the money for Easton. And look, we talk about the money. It's not like he got a $12 million contract, but I think he's making $4 or $5 million a year. His contract somewhere. And you know how it is. It depends on what money you include. But he's averaging about $4.5 million, $5 million a year. And he's not even active.
He's a healthy scratcher.
It was my theory that because Clapp was playing – the jumble package.
That's the
kind of that he's a better route runner than Easton was.
And, yeah.
No, I don't know if you noticed in his game, Clapp played a lot.
Jumbo.
Oh, yeah. They went with the jumbo. Well, he lined up at fullback one time. I mean, it's
because
like,
playoff Josh Hill concussed.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, and that's why. And as a matter of fact, we even saw him go in motion one time.
Yeah.
So when I saw number 64 going in motion, I'm like, oh.
And I think overall, that's what it was. I think perhaps Clapp just brought more overall tricks in his bag than what Easton does,
perhaps. Here's the thing,
and
I think it was proven out this week. I obviously joke about the route running, but when you're playing the jumbo package, you're playing more like a tight end.
Right.
Yes.
Maybe. that Clapp just has a little bit more mobility and space.
Well, I saw a couple. He does. He looks pretty athletic when he gets out there.
But then Easton in confined, in the phone booth as they like to say,
yeah,
that maybe he's just a bigger, stronger, tougher guy in the booth. I don't know if I completely believe what I'm saying, because at the end of the day, I saw Clapp do some things where, you know, his feet are standing still while he's sitting there falling down while guys going around him. Having said that, I'm still confused how Easton could play as well as he did and why Clapp would be active on the other games, unless that's what the Saints felt. And then when it came time and they saw Clapp play, they're just like, we got to give Easton a shot. It was that bad. So I'm not sure what it is, Tomas.
I think that a couple of things of what you said are correct. I think that I don't think Easton can play the jumbo package. Either he can't or he has,
it's just not that he can't.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I think Clapp is better acclimated
to that. You can tell their body types. Okay. Clapp is like a taller, thinner kind of build, and Easton's a thick.
Yes, he's a big fire guy. Yeah. So, but I think what happens is this. I think that Clapp, and this is the reason why at tight end in the jumbo when he's blocking is much better. The word's always been that Clapp is good on run plays. He has problems with pass. And so Easton doesn't have that same problem. And I think practicing the entire week at left guard, you know, he was ready. I think it's just that simple. He can play the guard position, run or pass, no problem. He didn't have to play the jumbo package. And I think that Clapp, on the other hand, could come in and play center guard. I heard somebody say he could even play tackle. I've never seen him play tackle, but
I cannot remember. Maybe he did play some tackle.
He's on the outside. Yeah,
it's possible. That's what I'm saying. I think he had more tools in his bag.
More flexibility.
And then the other thing that I wondered about is some guys just don't practice as well. Easton may just not look
one of
as
guys.
Good in practice. Maybe he don't. He doesn't bring it all the time in practice.
Here's another theory. Again, all these are just theories. He had a neck injury that was pretty substantial.
He did.
Maybe he wasn't 100% early, and they were like, well, you know, and it's like now
the
it's
only
time
thing
to-
about that is as I recall, he looked good in preseason.
Yeah.
And so that it was kind of a head scratcher. I really think Clapp maybe just a little more versatile overall.
Okay. So another question, Tomas, is
now
that he's come in. Now, we have time because, listen, everybody has a good game every once in a while. Can he do it consistently? We have a chance to find out because Pete's going to be out for 6 weeks or 5 more weeks with a broken arm.
Right.
So now if Easton is really the guy we saw on Sunday, we have another because he has a 2-year contract.
Yeah.
We have another that's guy that's a higher level. Does Pete get his job back? Does this allow you to allow Pete to walk next season? Because Pete, somebody's going to overpay for him.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think that the Saints are going to overpay for him. So if he wants to come back to the Saints, it had to be an incredibly friendly contract, which I don't see him doing, because if he can get so much more on another team, hey, you're going to go. Mm-hmm. So I think the Saints now, over the next few weeks, have an opportunity to evaluate whether Easton can, see what he does for 5 games. If he grades out the same way he graded for this game for the next 5 games.
It's a no-brainer.
Exactly. Right. Then you say, thanks, Andrus. Good luck to you wherever you end up,
Yeah.
So I think that's the way we're going to play it. But I will tell you, just from this one game, there's no doubt to me that he can play the left guard position very well.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And if he can play center as well, then now you have the same situation with Pete, except it going to the inside rather than the outside.
Right. But it does leave a hole because, look, we have other guys that can play center.
I have to believe that Clapp must have some ability to play tackle, because if not, that means the Saints activated 2 guard centers this week and had the only backup tackle that they even have on the active roster inactive in Greenidge. So they went into the game with no other defined backup tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So Clapp must have some ability
to
step out a tackle if something would have happened.
And if that is the case, then that would answer all the questions of why Clapp would be ahead of Easton. It's because, like, look, we don't need 2 backup guards. We have a guy that plays guard and tackle. We have a guy that plays center.
He can play all
center and jumbo.
And so, he may not be a better guard than you, Easton, but he can play backup guard, he can play tackle, he can play center, And that's the guy you got to activate on game day.
Right.
All of a sudden, your starter goes out, and it's like, well, now Easton slides in as the starter because he is actually the better guard.
Exactly. I think you're right.
And that,
I think that's it.
That theory makes the most sense. Yeah. The problem is, as much as we're all like, yeah, yeah, sounds good, is none of us can recall him ever playing tackle.
Well, see, I remember Clapp was at LSU at that time when Posick was there, and they were constantly rejuggling the offense.
Yes,
they
I remember
they
that.
Would, out of 12 games in a season, they had 14 different starting combinations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Literally, and everybody was playing out as Posick was playing center when he was really a tackle and blah, blah. So I'm thinking that I'm just not remembering, but maybe Clapp did spend some time at tackle when he was at LSU.
Well, you're the LSU expert.
I know, so. And I tried to go back and look under his, you know, like the stuff on Wikipedia, and none of it said anything about him spending any specific time.
But even though, if he's playing jumbo, that's the end position.
Well, right.
So it could be that, you know, they started working with him last year and said, hey, you know what, Will, if you want to make this team, it's all about versatility.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, okay, I'll learn all the positions. Yeah. Just tell me what I have to do, and I'll learn all the positions. And maybe that's what he
somebody
did.
Out there listening to us is an even more of an LSU guru than I. If you know, you can email us.
Yeah, what's that email address?
What is it?
BSandBeer@iCloud.com.
BSandBeer@iCloud.com.
There you go.
Give us an email if you can clear up.
Yeah, did Clapp play tackle at LSU? Yeah. I can't
Where did
remember.
We get the clap from? It was a tackle.
Did we pick that up? We picked it up in Baton Rouge or what? I can't remember.
That's it. Must have been a tailgating incident.
All right. So, Tomas,
yes,
you're on deck. I know you're upset.
Yeah, because he took my – I thought for sure. I'll
I
get should that have
remembered East. That was going to be your guy.
No, that's all right. I will give another guy that I thought really balled out. And again, if you believe the what is it, PFF thing?
Yeah.
Kiko.
I was about to say.
Gosh.
54, that's got to be the other guy.
Kiko Alonso.
He did. He
oh, my God. He played this guy. I'm telling you. I'm sitting there watching. I said, oh, that's Kiko again. Look, he's in the right position. That's Kiko. I couldn't help. I was like, holy smokes, man. We were all complaining. Why we picked up this guy from Miami? He's like,
well, you know, at the time when our middle linebacker went out, you're like, okay, it's a cheap backup, and he's experienced.
Right.
But, no, I agree. The thing, and, you know, I got to throw in this. I texted him. I didn't get a reply. But it seems like as long as he's been on the team that they could find some equipment that fits him. I mean,
yeah.
I've never seen a guy he wears
this much of his shoulder
showing. His shoulder pads are nothing. And he has like either because his shoulder pads are so, it makes his neck look small, it makes his helmet look small.
He ain't getting held. Ain't nothing to hold on to.
Well, isn't that, is it Bennett? The guy who played?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
The defensive tackle.
Yeah.
He played Philadelphia.
Right. Michael Bennett. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got like. Yeah. Shoulder pads for, you know, JV, you know,
so I have to
middle
think
school.
That Kiko Alonso, as he gets older, you know, he loses a step and he's like, he can't run. And it reminds me of Major League. Oh, dude, the old pitcher guy's like, well, I got some jalapeno here.
Yeah,
I got some Vaseline here. You know, he's like, the pads keep getting smaller and smaller. Yeah.
But he really did play,
no,
man.
He
really.
Out. That's another excellent observation. That there are guys who we know, like the low-hanging fruit. But we really, I think it's great that some guys that you just were, because think of how important, especially Eason. If we would have went into this game with the same problems that we had in at Atlanta, I don't know how you move the ball when you have just a hole
you got
in the middle of the offensive line.
Sue, and they got a good line.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that tells you how good the offensive line played. They literally Golston and Sue and all these guys.
You never heard his name.
At all.
I never heard Sue the whole game.
In fact, the commentator said that. Late in the game, they showed Sue for some reason. The guy went, we ain't even talked about him. Yeah, you know, it's like,
oh. Matter of fact, I literally forgot he was on their team until you just said it.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where if he had not come in and stepped in, think how big of a replacement. If he, you know, you got to assume he has to prove that he can continue to play at this level. But if he's just not bad, let's say he's not the best offensive player the Saints have, but he's a solid, not make a bunch of mistakes, doesn't let guys run right by him and just destroy your offense. Think how huge that is, because you could go back and look at the Atlanta game and make a great argument that the reason that we couldn't move the ball is it was either holding or as a guy running straight through the offensive line disrupting our play. Guys who, I'm not saying they're not good players, but they're not the type of guys you expect to disrupt your offense.
No.
You know, every game. Yeah. You know, right.
And Ramchek said this. Ramchek said that this week we had to clean up the fact that we have to keep Breeze clean.
Yeah.
And so that was obvious. I mean, they, you know, even the one sack that they had was like, eh, you know, not really offensive line issue there, you know. Yeah. But to me, like you said, if this guy can come in and play that same kind of ball for the next 5 weeks.
Dude, well, the Saints think, signed him for a reason. Minnesota was not happy to have lost him for a reason.
Yep.
And so I think we saw why.
We reaped the benefits. And yeah. Then, you know, Kiko Alonso,
buddy.
I went back and I really want to give Easton some accolades because it's huge. But all of a sudden, you didn't necessarily think that, oh, well, we need some help at linebacker. But he flashed, and I'm not trying to even suggest that he should be a starter or whatever, because I think whatever we're doing, it's good.
Yeah.
We're doing it right. It's the same Scott Shanley approach where everybody wants to replace him, but you know what? The defense was good, so he's doing something. It might not be because he's running everybody down or he's the fastest guy, but he's doing things right.
Well, he's pretty athletic, though.
And I just mean – no, and he is. But what I'm just trying to say is that – sometimes it's not all about how fast it's being in the right place, understanding,
sure.
All these different things that allow you to be good besides athletic ability. Yeah. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We got some bad to talk about. We hate to do it, but we got to do it, right?
Yep.
Part of the job. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
97.7 Sports Talk Radio, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Dave Romero, talking wall-to-wall Saints on Sports Talk.
He points at himself when he says, yeah, Dave Romero.
Dave Romero, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, talking wall-to-wall Saints. We've talked about the good. We have some bad, not much. I think we have to figure some other things to talk about because we don't have – a lot of bad to talk about. Heath, you like to talk about bad things.
Man.
You can fabricate something? I got.
Yeah, go ahead if you got something, because honestly.
You didn't even allow me to get good.
You felt like you had.
Well, I mean, it hurts my feelings. No, go ahead. No, fine, fine. No, go ahead. Because I have one that's not going to be popular, and it's.
Here's my bad.
I'm going to stir up a hornet's nest.
All right. My bad is this. I know somebody wrote me back, but I don't want to see Alvin Kamara doing punt returns. The bad for me is, man, suddenly we are spoiled to the nth degree because this little kid, Harris, has changed our, you know, we changed field position. Even if we don't go anywhere, now when we punt the ball, we stick him way back in the back because he brings the ball back 10, 15 yards on every punt.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I have Alvin in there, and I'm thinking, wait, hold on a second. I didn't think Alvin is 100%. I mean, they're saying that, but I don't really think Alvin Kamara is 100%. He might be 85, 90. Dude, I don't need him getting hit like on that one play.
Yeah, he got.
Where that guy tattooed him when he. And I'm like, no. no thanks. You know, put somebody else back there. So that's my bad. My bad is, you know, we need Harris back or. Put somebody else. I'm sorry. Can't do that.
So. And I agree, not that he performed poorly, but you just want to see a guy who is so important to your offense. And I say that as he was out for several games and we dominate in a run game with our other running backs. But I don't want to see him back there either. And one of the things that also I'm disappointed in is that, you know, we keep talking about this wide receiver element. And the Saints have an absolute dynamite, dynamic – I'd say arguably the best receiver in the league in Michael Thomas. But there's an element that's missing, and it's a quick twitch guy. And I want to see Harris involved in the offense more. I'm not saying number two. I'm not saying – but, you know, I'd like to see him get two or three balls thrown to him in certain situations and get him a little bit more involved because I feel like he's an element of speed that we just don't really have. I know Ted Ginn's fast, but Ted Ginn, I don't know. He's from what I hear, I don't see the speed on the field. But I hear he's still really fast. And offseason, he's going to race somebody. And
yeah. Well, I think the thing about Ginn is his speed is more straight line speed. You know, he's a guy you run.
He's
run
lost
post
elusiveness.
And he's, you know,
elusiveness.
Right. He's not the new term everybody loves. I kind of hate is he's not as sudden.
Oh,
or
yes,
as
right. That's what I use now.
But Harris,
so
Harris
my quick twitch comment.
Like,
that's
I wouldn't want to put Harris in the game and have him run deep routes. I want to see him figure out how to get Harris a pass out in the open in the flat.
Right, right.
And then let him use his running ability once he's in an open field to make
suddenness.
People miss. Yeah, his suddenness, his quickness, his quick twitch, his...
Yeah, those terms are yesterday.
Yeah, whatever
ones
I can think of. Yeah.
Like in everything else in life,
I'm going to make up a new one. His nowness.
Oh, okay? There you go.
I want to see his nowness.
I like it. I was just going to say, like everything else in life, with music and everything else, football has to evolve.
Forget
with
sudden.
Fancy,
that's in the future. This dude's now.
Some fancy new term for the same thing. Like we always talk about. When I played ball, it was keep containment. Now it's setting the edge.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just like you got to come up with a fancy new term. But I like his nowness.
Nowness.
His nowness. Yeah. Is I mean, really, he's shown in his as a punt returner, his nowness is
it reminds me of the skit in Spaceballs with the here is that. What is it? We jumped over that moment. You know the skit I'm talking about?
That's a long time. You showed your age.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know. Thank God they can't see me.
All right. So, are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
I'm not saying I believe this, but there was some evidence of Drew Brees' lack of arm strength.
No, I knew it was coming. I texted it.
I read it. Yeah. Hey, it is not a popular opinion to say negative things about Drew Brees.
You gotta be honest.
But the reality of it is, look, and I read on Saints Report, one of my favorite sites to go to read the fan forum, and I think the best comment I liked is like being lacking in a certain area doesn't mean that you're horrible, because he's obviously not. But I think it's obvious that there's a reason why the Saints aren't pushing the ball further downfield, and that still doesn't mean that he can't make connections and he throws the ball in that intermediate area. But the fact that he's not taking the top off of defenses like he used to. And I do believe, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but while he still has that, brace on his hand, that the grip on the ball, and that, believe it or not, man, when you rip into a ball to throw it deep, I think he's lost a few RPMs on it, and that doesn't mean he can't get it back, because as that finger heals, then you might be able to go over top. Now, we all know that he's, in his prime, he wasn't a strong-arm quarterback, and anybody who thinks differently is just fooling themselves. And as you get older, I don't care who you are. You're going to lose a step in the 40. You're going to lose a little arm strength. You're going to you lose your physical strength. It just happens. But the hand injury has obviously progressed that. I do believe that as he gets more healthy, that he can overcome it. Like, hopefully by the time, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 more weeks comes down to playoffs and you can start going further down the field. But he had at least 2 times where he one hopped a ball, and now look, it's an out route, you know, and it's a deep out route. But the fact that I've seen him make that throw, I remember in the playoffs against the Vikings late in the fourth quarter, it was a 4th and 12 or something, and we converted an out like that. So I know he's capable of it. Not that long ago, but right now with the thumb injury, there is a lack of, I don't know if it's even fair to say arm strength, but his inability to go down the field has become blatantly obvious. Yeah. In this offense.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking about this for a few years. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that like you said, he never was the strong arm guy to begin with. And so a guy like that, when he's already at his max trying to get that done, as he gets older, you're going to see a decline in him probably even faster than you would in a guy with a bigger arm. But if he's still wearing something on his thumb, that tells me that he's still not 100%.
Right. Now, they did say that a couple more weeks – they talked about it, that a couple of more weeks that the brace can come off.
Right.
But I guess where I'm going with this is I think it's 2 separate issues. His declining arm strength is just part of the evolution of Drew Brees. It's just as he gets older. But there is something in addition to that. And you could see there's a little less zip on the ball. He's still effective because he's always been a timing quarterback. And accurate, but his inability to grip the ball, you can see it's affecting his ability to throw the ball further downfield.
The thing about Drew is the Saints' success with long passes with Drew Brees were always when the pass wasn't that long.
Right.
In other words, he was a guy that could always hit that guy in stride running that post or the guy that went up the sideline. You think of that one to Brandon Cooks that time that he dropped over the guy's head and he took, 85 yards or whatever it was.
But the pass was only 15 or 18.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We don't have those receivers. We don't have anybody that's getting that done right now.
Right.
You know what I'd like to throw into that? There a lot of times when Drew Brees and this had more to do with you set him up with all these short routes and then double move. And yeah. that's why you'd see these guys open. It's a 30-yard pass, but it wasn't because he just ripped one downfield.
Yeah.
It was because of a double
move.
He
was never completing the pass that was 65 yards in air.
No. That,
very rarely.
No.
I'm not saying he never did it earlier in his career, but that was never Drew Brees.
Right.
That's not what they did. He completed a 35-yard pass that he hit a guy dead on the run because he's so accurate, and the guy ran the other.
Right.
Yeah, and see, and I would follow up with what you said, Dave, that it's about timing because he's always been a timing guy.
Absolutely.
But when he's throwing those deep outs like that, what I notice is because the speed isn't quite there, I go back to what you said, the revolution of the ball is not there. When it's not there, it just doesn't have the same trajectory.
And that has to do with the grip as well.
Yeah, but I think that what that is, that then it affects the timing because on those two out routes, he was late.
Right.
You know, so that's timing. You know, he had thrown the ball, you know, a second and a half earlier, it would have gotten there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I'm exaggerating, but seriously.
But now you're getting to a point where in order for him to get the ball there, he has to throw the ball before his back foot drops.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
it's almost
yes,
you know? It's almost saying that it's going to be hard.
On that particular, now that's just that particular route.
I agree.
Okay. So, because that's a hard route for anybody. It's not just Drew Brees. To throw it out like that, you know, you really have to have arm strength to throw it
that way.
They say
that's the hardest route, but even when Drew Brees did it, it had a lot more to do with timing.
Yes, yes.
Than anything
else. But what I'm saying is if the timing is off and the speed of the ball is off, then you get
the result is what you got there.
That was an example from yesterday. He had the long pass, shorter pass, long run from Michael Thomas up the sideline.
Right.
If we had another guy that had more speed that could actually get open with any regularity, that particular play would have been a touchdown.
Right.
He got caught up the sideline because it was Michael Thomas, and he's just not that fast. He's not home run
blazing
fast.
Yeah.
Right.
He's not
catch
a 15-yard pass and then run 75.
Right.
Another guy, if we could ever get a guy that could constantly present himself as an open target in those situations, would have taken that, and everybody would have went, Drew Brees had 80-yard touchdown pass. Well, no.
They think Tre'Quan Smith is the guy to do
that. I'm a champion of Tre'Quan Smith for no other reason other than I've seen some things that I like or whatever, but there comes a point when I'm like, okay, I'm watching guys like Emmanuel Sanders go into San Francisco, and I know he has a lot more experience, but, you know, it's like, hey, he's on a new team. Next thing you know, he's catching all kind of balls. And why isn't Smith being more involved in the offense than he is? And it's either a lack of trust – or something.
That's
and
one.
I have been a champion of Smith. You know, you talk about Kirkwood and these other guys, and I'm like, Smith, why are y'all acting like Smith? When he comes back, and he comes back, he's been back for two games and really hasn't been active in the offense.
No.
I don't know why.
Well, if he doesn't step it up, I'll tell you what, my boy Butler will kick him off the team.
You ready for Butler?
I'm ready for Butler next year. He won't be this year, but next year.
Well, so Kirkwood is now eligible to come off
in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. Yeah. So the point is, one way or another, I'm not a complete Kirkwood is the savior.
He's
a good player. He's better than some of the guys we have, so it's an improvement.
Yeah. Yeah.
But is he going to be someone who's
going to
change the game?
Beast.
No.
No. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We're going to do some picks when we come back. Talk to you in a minute.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coon ass.
.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew, Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elson-San, Dave Romero. We were talking a little earlier. I think it's something we should maybe talk a little bit about, bring up, and is receivers. Earlier I said I'd like to see an element of Harris, the punt returner. I think, what is it, pulled hamstring he has right now?
Yeah.
He'll be back soon. I don't know exactly when. We have to keep an eye on the injury reports throughout the week. But the point is that he'll be back.
I got a partner, because he and Lattimore have the hamstring issues.
So yeah, they're probably working out. They're doing little toe touches together.
Ice baths.
Well, but I'd like to see Harris. But the guys that we do have on the field, your guy will be scheduled to come back in a couple of weeks.
Kirkwood.
Kirkwood. But the guy that I'm talking about is Smith. And Heath, you were saying Smith, I don't know, a speed guy. He has good speed, but I wouldn't consider him like an NFL deep threat.
No, he's not. So I had been wondering this, so I went and looked up. He ran a 4.5 at his combine.
Oh, was it that?
Okay,
it was
Michael Thomas ran a 4.57. Okay, so he's not really a speed guy, okay? I think he can play faster than that in games. He was able to go deep when he was at Central Florida, but he was playing against lower competition, and he was playing in college. College and NFL are different. Everybody in NFL is better than the guys you play with at college at any level, much less at Central Florida. And so he was, his combine grade was 5-something. It was chance to become a starter. He was a third-round pick. I think might have been expecting a little too much out of the guy to begin with anyway, because we picked this guy and went, oh, man, we needed somebody. I think it's going to take him a little longer to figure out his NFL game. He's going to have to get a little bit crisper on his routes in order to get separation that he can't get, that he got when he was in, that sort of thing. He's going to be that three-year guy before the light really comes on for him and he figures out what his knack is at wide receiver.
Because, as you mentioned, it's going to be the nuances, the things that it takes a little experience, the route running, how you get that elbow involved when you're trying to get a little separation, those things, because doing what he did in college, he's not like some of these top draft picks that come in with 4.34 speed, and even though they don't know what the hell they're doing, they faster than everybody.
They just run past people.
He maybe did that in college because, again, college he went to, small college with playing against smaller competition or lesser competition.
We saw a good example of it in this game. They highlighted Michael Thomas in this game and talked about him. Chris Spielman, they showed the play, right? Here's a guy with 4.57 speed or whatever, right? The guy's lined up right in front of him, and his moves getting off of the line, and within two steps, he was so wide open. He had the other guy going backwards, and he went inside, and he's gone, man, and he's wide open. Now they're going to run him down. The same guy ran him down from behind after he caught the ball, after being completely out of position, because he's not going to outrun anybody at that, but he gets the separation between either his footwork and his route running or his strength.
Physical strength.
If a guy gets up, he's going to get off of that block and get out there and get open. Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff right now that I bet if we singled in on Traquan and looked at the tape on him, he's not doing that right now. He cannot do that. He's not that proficient.
I thought, based on my recollection.
And neither are a lot of other guys either. So I'm not just saying, but he's a young guy, and he's not Michael Thomas.
Well, and again, late third-round pick. Because if I remember
27th
correctly.
27th pick of the third round.
So it's not
almost
like
a fourth-round pick.
Expectations a little bit too much. And the thing I wanted to dispute, because I knew based on my recollection of his draft profile, he actually has 4.49 speed.
Oh, okay.
So let's keep it real. But he was a speed guy in college, and I knew that it
that
wasn't
1/100th. I got to revise everything I just said. Don't listen to anything I just said. I didn't know what I was talking about.
But the funny thing is, I knew it wasn't great speed, but when you said 4.5, I was like, it's funny how your mind hears 4.5 is slow.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing at the gas pump, $2.50 is expensive. 2.49 is good,
4.49
Of course,
speed.
It's 2.49.9.
Exactly. All right, y'all confused me with all your math.
So that's really what his is. If you take it out another place, it was 4.499.
That's just like when you tell a woman how tall you are, you always make sure you round up to 5'10". You want to have that double digit there.
Yeah, you got to be double digits.
Even though you're 5'7".
And I got 3-inch heels on.
Okay.
You just say sitting in your bar stool, though.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
how tall are you?
I'm taller upper body than my legs, so I look good sitting down.
Tomas, anything to add to this interesting conversation that we have in here?
I want to go back to one because it bothered me. We have 4 linebackers on IR.
Yeah. Oh, I knew it. Yeah.
There were 4 linebackers on IR.
Oh, well, I mean, we have to start the conversation before
I think we
finish.
Have every white linebacker in the league on IR.
On IR?
Yeah.
I can tell you who they are. Anzalone,
Jumper.
Ellis,
Jumper.
Jumper, and Josh Martin.
Yeah.
Who we were high on. We got him late. And everybody's like, who's this guy?
So if I can give the people out listening a little context.
Yeah.
It's during the break. Yeah. We were talking about how many linebackers.
No, we talked about it during the show.
Did we?
Yeah. I think so.
No, I don't believe we did. But we lost our first round draft pick linebacker that went to Miami.
Yeah, well, that's where that's how this conversation started.
Yeah, yeah. What's his name again?
Stephon Anthony got hurt this week, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that.
So that's how that conversation happened.
Oh, okay. I must have messed
up. We kind of went backwards on that. I hope everyone out there is caught up now.
Okay.
Linebackers who are injured.
All right, we got it.
We just did it in reverse.
So did you want me to talk about ugly? Is that what the next thing was going to be?
No, it's about time to start the picks.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead then.
Some people complain, speaking of ugly.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter.
I can listen to that
side
over
to the 40,
and John Sullivan
runs him down at the 40.
Because that commentator is such a schmuck. I remember, Derek, you know, it's like, yeah.
All right, y'all help me out. Who else gave us some help this weekend? The Packers were off.
Nobody.
The
49ers won.
I thought that we were going to get some help.
From the Cardinals.
And it just
I don't want the help. I want the 49ers to come in and us beat them.
Okay.
As
the time goes on.
Yeah.
If we don't get any help, we're going to be going air. Well, no, we play them in the
Central. We play them.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is I was worried about the 49ers. I'm watching them play. I told you my biggest thing about teams that you just – it's not a tangible thing – is your ability to focus for
16 games.
Yeah. Something Drew Brees and the Saints have proven that for 16 games, I'm not saying you won't have one, but there gets to the point where you like, you know, 10-0 or you're 8-2 and you just kind of hit the wall and just like, man, the film room practice and, oh, the expectations. And I'm waiting for the 49ers because – a play here, a play there, they lose to the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they did not look like the superstar team that everybody's putting them out there. Yeah. Now, I will say Garoppolo, although I'm
– here's
Patrick
the thing.
Peterson is not – I mean, we were talking about giving up a first or a second round draft pick for him last year.
Glad we did.
That guy is done.
He's had a rapid decline.
Yep.
The other thing is I'm not convinced that Garoppolo is going to still be upright come the end of the season. This guy, this will be the first, if he does, and if he does, he's going to be exhausted by the time they come to playoffs because he's not
he's
used
like,
to playing.
He's not used to playing this many games.
Yeah, he's still on a college schedule,
yeah.
like
yeah.
an old 11-game yeah. season.
And I will tell you this. There was one player that everybody should know about. They talked big about Boza. Larry Fitzgerald came across the field and tattooed Boza. And they keep showing it now. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, Fitzgerald just tagged this guy. Now, I'm just saying, what do you think that, you know?
All right. Hey.
Go ahead. Want to make some picks? Let's go.
Yeah, let's get some picks. Buccaneers at the Falcons. The Buccaneers are getting 4 points. Heath?
I'm going to take the Falcons at home.
I'm going to take the Buccaneers. I think they're coming back.
You know, the Buccaneers.
We embarrassed them. They're going to come back.
You know what? Jameis Winston has the heart of a lion. He's not going to take that whooping that the Saints put on him, laying down to take it out on the Falcons.
Right,
Falcons winners of two in a row, by the way. Right. Let's see. Another interesting here. What about the – I don't know why I think it's interesting, but the Dolphins at the Browns. The Browns have given up 11 points.
I'm going to take the Dolphins and the 11 points. Browns look good this week, had a big win, but they're so up and down.
The Dolphins got nothing. And I just can't. I got to go Browns.
I'm going to pick the Dolphins just because of the point spread. I've kind of learned my lesson about that.
Yeah, I know.
So, but
I'm going to do the same thing.
All right, so somewhat interesting game. Seahawks at the Eagles. The Eagles giving up 2 points. Heath?
I'm going to take the Seahawks in the two.
Same here. Seahawks and two.
I'm going to take the
They're
Seahawks
against
and
the
two.
Wall.
We need the Eagles. I say need. But, no, actually we do. Seahawks are 8-2 as well.
Two, yeah.
And I mean, man, it is right now, it is just a cluster there at the top. The Saints have the third seed right now.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of ball to be played. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Cowboys at the Patriots. The Patriots giving up 6 points. Heath?
I'm going to take the Patriots and give up the six.
Same here. I can't take those Cowgirls.
I'm going to take the Cowgirls.
No, I knew
I don't like them, but I got to oppose you guys. And to the Patriots, I don't know, man. I see all kind of chinks in the armor.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. The Ravens and
the Rams.
The Rams. And what is the spread?
Rams at home, getting three at home to the Ravens.
Three at home.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I'm going to take the Ravens on the road.
Man, we're pairing up here. Ravens same way. Got to pull for Mark Ingram.
Ravens are looking strong right now.
I'm going Ravens too. Saints game, they're going to whoop them?
They're going to whoop them. All Saints right. covered
it's
in nine.
It's 9.5. The Saints will cover it.
Yeah, they'll cover it.
Yep.
All right. Hey, for Heath Elson's son, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast crew on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We're going to talk to you guys next week. Go Saints.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back. And that's the way it is.
Hope I don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to Davy Heath and Tomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, hope I don't waste time.